got a message. I pray the Lord will bless tonight. Let's start reading at verse 18. Got a lot of scriptures to read for the message. Say a few things as I go through them. Mark chapter 14, verse 18. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me." And they began to be sorrowful and say unto him one by one, "Is it I?" And another said, "Is it I?" And he answered and said unto them, "It is one of the twelve that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born." And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed it, brake it, and gave to them, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out unto the Mount of Olives, and Jesus saith unto them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee." But Peter said unto him, "Although all shall be offended, yet will not I." And Jesus saith unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." But he spake the more vehemently, "If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise." Likewise also said they all. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, "Sit ye here while I shall pray." And while and he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch." And he went forward a little and fell on the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, "Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time, and saith unto them, "Sleep on now, take your rest. It is enough. The hour's come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand." And immediately, while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, "Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely." And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, "Master, Master," and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. Kind of intense, ain't it? Kind of intense. Want to talk tonight what happened between the cup, him giving the cup to his disciples, and the kiss. You know, our Lord's life was short. 33 years. 33 and a half by some counts. Our Lord's life was short and it was intense. But it was a life that was fully lived. Full of experience. He experienced everything so much more intensely than us because of who he was. He experienced love and he experienced hate. He experienced joy and he experienced sorrow. He had experiences of compassion and commitment. He knew what it was to have faith tried and triumphing, a friend and foe alike. He knew what it was to be blessing, to have friend, and he knew what it was to be betrayed and have a foe. And between the giving of the cup, when he took the cup and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And then getting the kiss, he said, "Master, Master," and kissed him. We can see some degree the intenseness of our Lord's life. And here we are in the very closing hours and the experiences of his soul in those closing hours. And let's just walk with him, go with him through these final hours after he gave the cup to his disciples. And he, after he gave them bread, he said, back over here in verse 26, they had singing after he had given them the cup. After he had given them the cup, the wine, give them the bread, said, "This is my body which is broken for you. This is the cup in the New Testament, which is my blood, which is shed for many." They had a song to sing. And when they had sung a hymn, and this hymn here in the margin, it says they sung a song. We sang hymns. But you know, there are some churches that sang nothing but the psaltery. They sang nothing but psalms. And that's what they sung here. They sung a song. They didn't sing a hymn like you and I'd know a hymn. All they had was the psalms. And the Lord Jesus sang, although the hour of suffering was upon him. He just got through telling him, "I'm going to be betrayed. And the man that's going to betray me, it'd be better for him had he had never been born." And instead of getting all scared and worried, after he gave him the cup and gave him the bread, he said, "Let's sing a song. Let's sing." And all the suffering that was upon him, and I tell you, when they began to sing, you can believe that his was the prettiest voice, the most beautiful voice in those men as they sang. Here's 12 men or 11 men in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't believe Judas was present myself. And I believe there he is with the 11 and himself. There's 12 of them. And they began to sing a song. And you know, old rough fishermen, I don't know how many of them could carry a tune. Some of them probably like me couldn't carry a very good tune. But our Lord Jesus Christ, I believe he started the hymn, told them the hymn or the psalm that they were going to sing. And I believe he said, "This is what we're going to sing." And he began to lead it. Because he's the master of the sheep. And what that psalm was, we don't have any idea. Was it the 23rd psalm? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. He anointeth my head with oil." Is that the psalm they sung? Or did they sing the 91st psalm? "All he that dwelleth under the shadow of the Almighty dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High." Or did they sing the 40th psalm? And he said, "Oh Lord, I come to, I delight to do thy will. I will, I delight to do." I don't know which one it was, but you can believe it was a psalm that honored his Father. It was a psalm full of things about himself. And it was a psalm that was sung beautifully. And in his hours of suffering, instead of it, he got his disciples together, and after they took them, "We'll sing a hymn. We'll sing a hymn after we get through tonight. We'll sing a hymn," just like they did. But we'll sing a hymn honoring him. And not only did they sing a hymn, but look what else happened in verse 27. There was a prediction here. There was singing, then there was predicting. "And our Lord said unto them, All ye shall be offended of me because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." And that's what he said, all of you. Now, they just got through singing the song, and after they sung the song, they went out to the Mount of Olives. They left. And they're out on the Mount of Olives now. They're out there approaching the garden, and they stop there, and he begins to tell them, all of y'all are going to stumble over me tonight. You're going to be offended because of me tonight. You're going to stumble. That's what that word offended means. You're going to stumble. Instead of believing me and trusting me and committing yourself to me because of what I'm going to do and what I'm going to go through and what's going to come upon me, you're going to stumble over me. You're going to be offended over me. You're going to stumble, and you're not going to fall completely, but you're going to stumble. You're going to stumble. And all he says, and the reason is the sheep, the shepherd's about to be smitten, and the sheep are going to be scattered. Now look over in Zechariah. Zechariah, Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. Zechariah is the one right before that. It's the next to the last book in the Old Testament. Look in Zechariah 13. And he says, that is written. Our Lord said, as it is written. He is quoting Scripture, even in his hour of approaching. And what a change for him. What a change from singing a hymn, from meeting with the disciples, enjoying communion with them. In one place he told them, with great desire have I desired to do this. And now he predicts their desertion. Now he predicts their stumbling. Now he predicts their own desertion and leaving him alone and his own smiting. In Zechariah 13:7, we'll look in verse 6 first. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. And this is what God says about his son. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that's my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. They shall betray him, they shall desert him, they shall deny him, and I will turn my hands, God said, I will turn my hands myself upon the little ones. Oh my, big men are going to learn. And these disciples are going to learn what man's really made of, no matter what they say. And oh, look what old Simon Peter says. Oh my. But Peter said unto them, oh, all shall be offended. I'll not be offended. I won't stumble. Everybody else may stumble, but I won't stumble. You see, they had taken our master at his word for years. And now Peter says it can't be true. Our Lord just told them it is written. And they said, Simon Peter said, I don't care what's written. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to act like. This is how I'm going to react to it. And our Lord said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, this night, this day, even in this night, before the cock crow two times, you'll deny me three times. And oh, thank God. Thank God that sword that was awakened against the Lord Jesus Christ, that sword that God raised against His blessed soul, thank God that sword was awakened against Him. Thank God that sword smote Him and us smote us in Him. And now, beloved, we never have to worry about that sword being drawn again and plunged in against us or coming against us ever again. It was smote the shepherd and we were scattered and those sheep were scattered, and then after the resurrection, he said, I'll go before you in the Galilee, and there I'll see you. Yeah. There I'll see you. And then look in verse 33. And oh my. Look at his suffering. He had singing and prediction. Now he sees suffering. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and to be sore amazed. And very heavy. I don't know what it means to be sore amazed. I don't know what it means. I know what it means to be amazed. I mean, it just means to be taken so aware, so in shock that it just, you just, well, that's what he was. He was sore amazed. And he was heavy. His soul was heavy. Very heavy, it says. More than heavy, very heavy. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ, His whole life had been one of suffering. From the day He was born, I sat on my porch this afternoon going over these notes. And I looked down at the barn and I thought about this. I said, you know, it'd be like somebody coming here to have a baby and our house being full of people. And we said, I'm sorry, you ain't got room here for you. There's a stable down there in my barn. You go down there and have your child. That's the same difference. Our Lord was poor when He was born. He began to suffer when He was born. The fact that He was born and took upon Himself flesh is suffering. And His whole life from His birth, and His life was a life of poverty. He wasn't, you know, we got more change in bottles at home than our Lord probably knew had all His life made in His whole life. And our Lord Jesus Christ, his station in life, his life was a poor man. He was a carpenter's son, and he learned carpentry. And then not only was he suffered because of the station that he was had in life, his poverty, and didn't have a place to lay his head. Not only that, but he was despised of men when there was no reason to despise him. He was rejected of men when there was no reason to reject him. He was hated of men when there was no cause to hate him. He was ridiculed of men when there was no reason to ridicule him. The only reason they'd do it is because they hated him without a cause, is what the Scripture said. And all his suffering, everything about it, and he is amazed. And he's very heavy. Why? Our sins,
yes.
Our iniquities, our rebellions are marching to meet on him that would have sunk us to the lowest hell. The Scripture says that he was wounded for our transgressions. Bruised. And that word bruised means that God laid his hand heavy on him. Smote him. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so here he is. The sins that would have sunk us to the lowest hell are marching to meet on him. And he sees them marching in all their darkness and shameness and guilt and embarrassment and all the things that would have sunk us to hell. They're marching as a great army towards him. And then not only that, but here's that sword drawn. Here's the wrath and justice of God hovering over him. In great dark clouds, fixing to burst on his holy soul. And there's a storm going to come upon him that's never come on another man. And never come on another man again. Every man will suffer for his own sins that's outside of Christ. Every man will suffer for his own. But our Lord Jesus Christ suffered for man's sins, the multitude that no man could number sins. That's why his sufferings were so great. That's why his amazement was so sore. That's why he's so very heavy in his soul. And all we can do is like Peter, John, and James. And they sat there. And it says, and they sat there. And he take it with him, Peter, James, and John, and they sat there. And all we can do. It's like them, back there in verse 32. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Set ye here while I shall pray." And all we can do is like them, sit here and see the salvation of God and what it took to accomplish that salvation. It took the suffering of God's blessed Son. And I mean suffering unto death. We get heavy. Oh, how heavy our souls get. But you imagine how heavy his was. Does your soul ever get heavy? It's a burden to bear. You sigh all the time and you feel the weight. If we get like that, you imagine, and all you've got to carry the weight of your own. And the things that press upon you, well, all that pressed upon him was all the weight and all the sins of all his people for all time. And on him came all the justice and all the wrath of God against those people for one time.
Amen.
No wonder he was sore amazed and very heavy. And then look at his sorrowing in verse 34. And he saith unto them, "My soul, my soul." He says, "You're going to give this darling soul to the dogs." My soul, that part of us that lives on, that soul that communes with God, that soul that's God conscious, that soul that's made to live eternally, that soul, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Oh my. Sorrow of soul because he is holy.
Yes.
And sin's coming on him. Look over in Lamentations, Jeremiah's Lamentations, right at the end of the book of Jeremiah. There's four little old chapters here. And let's look at them. There's six chapters, I believe, five. But look in verse 12 with me of Lamentations, chapter 1 and verse 12. You know, and this is so sad. People make what our Lord Jesus Christ happened on the cross, the sufferings that He had on the cross, they make it just to be a legal transaction. They call it forensic. And that's not a biblical term. That's a legal term. Something legal took place. There really was. There was a payment made for sin. There was a payment received for sin. There was a debt paid off. But yet, to make it strictly legal, you can have a legal transaction without suffering like this. There has to be death with our sin. There has to be punishment with our sin. There must be. Wherever the soul that sinneth, it must die. Now, if Christ was not made to be sin, and sin wasn't His, in the sense that He counted and said, "Mine iniquities are more than the hairs of my head." That's what He said.
Yeah.
He so identified with us that our sins became His sins.
Amen.
Our guilt became His guilt. Everything that we had thought and said against God became His. I don't understand the mystery of it. How He can remain sinless and not have any sin, and yet God regard Him and treat Him and punish Him exactly like I deserve to be punished. And every soul deserves to be punished. But I know that if He wasn't actually made to be sin, then He wouldn't have actually died. And I don't see the difference in how in the world the mystery of God being made a man, that's a mystery we don't understand. So how in the world makes us think we can understand that He could actually be made sin? If He could be made a man, He could be made sin. Is that not right? There's something took place on that cross that night, that day, that I'm telling you that God smote Him to the uttermost. God poured out against him. And hell. Hell is to be forsaken of God. Hell is for God to say, "I don't want anything else to do. I'm not going to do anything for you. I don't want to have anything to do with you. There's no more mercy. There's no more compassion. There's no more grace. There's no more help. There's no more strength. I'm going to put you someplace where you and I will never have to cross paths again. I'm going to put you somewhere where you'll never have to be bothered with me in this world again." Well, that's what God did to Christ. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's hell! No wonder He said, "I'm sorrowful." No wonder He said, "I'm heavy." And look here in Lamentations 1:12. "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by?" Here He is now. He's on the cross. Here He is in Gethsemane. Here He is with God coming down in vengeance and justice upon Him. "Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me." What's this now? "Wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of His fierce anger. From above hath He sent fire into my bones. It hath prevailed against Him. He hath spread a net for my feet. He hath turned me back. He hath made me desolate and faint all the day. The yoke of my transgressions is bound by His hand. They are wreathed and come up upon my neck. He hath made my strength to fall. The Lord hath delivered me into their hand, from whom I am not able to rise up." Oh my, when our Lord bore our sins and guilt, "Is any man sorrow like unto my sorrow?" When He bore our sins and He bore our guilt, it wasn't a heartless mechanical process. It wasn't that. Oh no. There was suffering involved. There was agony involved. There was sorrow involved. There was tears involved. There was groanings of heart and soul involved. How could His sinless, spotless, holy soul come into contact with sin and guilt and not be exceeding sorrowful? now. And oh my, you see, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had to put him to grief. And look in verse 35 here of Mark 14. Oh, and then not only did he have sorrow, not only did he have suffering, saying and predicting, then he said he went forward a little. My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death, even to death. I know I'm going to die. What a death I'm going to die. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed. He went forward and fell. It don't say that he bowed down. He didn't assume that posture. He was in such agony of heart and soul that he just fell. He just cast himself. Just fell down. Just couldn't go any further. Fell down. Fell on the ground. And he prayed. And what a prayer. What a prayer. His soul is in agony. His soul is so heavy. He falls to the ground. And he begins to pray. And look what he prays. And here's the words that he gives. He prays in verse 36. He gives us the words that he prays. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. That's what he teaches us to pray. Father, Father. Abba, Father. All things are possible unto thee. All things are possible with God. Who then can be saved? With men it's impossible, but all things are possible with God. And he says, all things are possible unto thee. Oh, there's not anything that you... No impossibilities with you. Take away this cup from me. Take away this cup from me, Father. Take it away. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. The cup of being rejected by the Father. The cup of sin his soul violently abhors. The cup of wrath that he must drink. The cup of desertion and betrayal. Oh, my soul, if the sheep are to be saved, he's going to have to drink it. Going to have to drink it. And oh, not only did he pray, fell to the ground. Just fell to the ground. Prayed. And then look how he yields up. Look at his submission. But he says in verse 36, Nevertheless, not what I will. Not what I will. But your will. Your will. Oh my, here's the obedient son. Look over in Hebrews. Keep that and look over in Hebrews chapter 5 just a minute. Here's the obedient son. Here's the obedient son. He delighted to do the will of God. And in his heart of hearts, in that very soul, before the world ever began, he knew his coming to this hour. And he submitted to it. He yielded himself up to it. He says, I came from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. Every judgment I make, every word I say, I come to do his will. Come to do his will. Here's the obedient son in verse 7, Hebrews chapter 5. When in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. And he was heard in that he feared, or that he had great piety. God heard him. God heard him. And though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. You know, here's the son saying, nevertheless, what I will, but that what thou will. You see, in the garden, God's first son, God's created son, first man Adam, he said just the opposite of this. He said, my will be done. My will be done. I want my will done. It'll cost you your life. I want my will done. It'll cost you the life of all your people. You're all going to die. All your posterity is going to die. I don't care. I want my will to be done. I want my will to be done. And he plunged us into sin and death and depravity. And it's been that way from every man until now. And finally, there's a man. There's finally a man. One man.
Yes, sir.
Who came into this world. Whose sole existence, sole purpose to come, was to do the will of God and to do it perfectly. Do it completely. Do it without reservation.
Amen.
He was a son given. Huh? And this one given gave himself up to become a curse for us and became obedient unto death. And what our Master said here, if you will to have a people, if you will that I die, if you will that I suffer, if you will that your wrath come upon me, if you will that this is the only way your people can be saved, is by my blood shedding, by my death, by my sacrificial death, by me becoming the Lamb of God that takes away their sin. If you will to do it in a way that makes you just and justifier, your will be done. Your will be done. And then look what he does. He exhorts his disciples in verse 37, 38. He gets up now. Goes back over and he comes and finds them sleeping. And said unto Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Now watch this. He exhorts them. Watch and pray. Lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Here our Lord just got up from praying. Heavy, sore amazed, suffering, praying, so heavy that he fell to the ground. And in such a time of this, in such agony of spirit, you know what he does? He tenderly deals with his disciples while they're sleeping. He don't get mad at them. He don't go over and say, "Why, you sorry?" No, he goes over and says, Simon, are you sleeping? Are you sleeping? Is that all the care you have for me? Is that all the care you have for yourself? Huh? He tenderly, as his soul is suffering, deals with his sleepy disciples. And he says, the Spirit truly is ready. And Simon Peter's spirit was truly ready. He says, I'll be offended. I won't. I'm willing to die with you. And then his spirit, he intended that. He meant that. His spirit was willing to do that. But when it came, push come to shove, this old man got in the way.
That's right.
Flesh got in the way. Right? Oh my. And Steve read it back in the study this evening. The flesh is weak. The apostle says, that I would not do. I would not deny you, Lord. I would not betray you, Lord. I would not desert you, Lord. But that I would, I don't. And that I wouldn't do, I wouldn't desert you. But I do. I do desert you. I see then this law in my members warring. I know I see in me that in my flesh dwells no good thing. And then look what he does in verse 41. You know, he goes again. Verse 39, he went away and prayed and spake the same words. He done the same thing again. And then he comes in verse 41. And he makes a confession here. He confesses some things here. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, just go ahead and sleep now. Just go on sleep. I won't bother you. And I won't try to wake you up. I won't come and talk to you about it anymore. Just go ahead and rest. It's enough. The hour's come. It's it. This is it. It's enough. The hour's come. It's right here. Clock's ticked down. The clock's ticked down. And watch this. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. What sinners do when they get their hands on Christ? What a confession for him who could call 12 legions of angels. The Son of Man is enough. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. He could call 12 legions of angels. Here's the one who calls the stars by their names. Here's the one that the angels moved to by His beck and call. Here's the one who calls things that don't exist as if they do. Here's the one who said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth. And yet He says, "The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." He's going to turn Himself over into the hands of men. Not betrayed by an angel, but by a professed disciple. And He gave Himself up to this. No man takes it from Him. He gave Himself up. The hour's come. It's enough. And then look what He does in verse 42. He says, "Rise up. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go meet Him. Let's go face this hour. Let's go face this cross. Let's face these enemies. Let's face these sinners. Let's face this betrayal. Let's face this cup. Let's face this death. Let's face this sorrow. Let's face this suffering. Let's rise up. Let's face it now. Let's go. Lo, he that betrays me is at hand." He says, "Rise up, let us go." And they got up. Finally they got up. And they followed Him. And they followed Him. They followed Him. But they ended up following Him afar off. And let us rise up. Let's rise up and follow Him. He's going to the cross. Let's go to the cross with Him. Let's take our place with Him. Let us acknowledge that when He died, we died.
Amen.
When He suffered, we suffered. When God was against Him, He is against us. And may the Lord give us eyes to see Him there in our place, in our room, and in our stand. And I'll tell you this, sinner, you rise up and follow Him too. Follow Him too. You rise up and go to Him. He says, "Rise up and let us go." He says, "Rise up and follow me." Can you rise up and follow Him? We're going to take the bread and the wine here. This bread was symbolic of the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ, the agony went through in His body. That wine is symbols of His blessed blood that shed, poured from His body. And the blood is underground over there. But it's what that blood that was shed, the actual blood in and of itself, but it's what it meant, it's what it accomplished towards God.
Amen.
And that blood still speaks. That blood speaks of forgiveness. That blood speaks of justice satisfied. That blood speaks of wrath endured. That blood speaks of sin put away. That blood speaks of acceptance with God. That blood speaks peace to a heart that trusts the Lord Jesus Christ. Ain't that right?
Amen.
So rise up, sinner, and go to Him. And then look at the kiss. Look at the kiss. In verse 44. "And he that betrayed Him." Oh my soul. Wouldn't you hate to have that said against you? Wouldn't you hate to have that said against you? "And he that betrayed Him had given that whole crowd that came to take Him, given them a token. This is what I'm going to do." Now, see, they didn't know who He was. They didn't recognize Him. There was nothing about Him, that no beauty about Him that He should be desired. And He said, "Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Now you take him and lead him away safely. Don't let these men hurt him." And as soon as he was come, there's all them men behind him. I can see him now. He goes straightway to the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, James, and John standing behind him. And he walked straight up to the Lord Jesus Christ and embraced him. And said, "Master, Master." And kissed him. And kissed him. Kissed him. Let me tell you about another kiss. There was a father standing one day, watching for his son to come home. And when he saw him afar off, he ran to him and fell on his neck and kissed him. Our Lord had the kiss of betrayal that we can have the kisses of His mouth.
Amen. Amen.
Kisses of love and mercy. The Lord bless you to see Him, look to Him, trust to Him, rise up and come to Him. Our Father, our gracious, gracious Father, how blessed and holy and glorious is Your name. Bless this word to our understanding. Bless it to our heart. And this time that we're fixing to take the table of our Lord Jesus Christ, partake of His supper, help us to be mindful and remember the love and the mercy and the grace and the justice and the wrath that He came to fulfill in order to redeem our sinful souls. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Blessed be Your holy name. Thank You. Lord, we bless You. Amen.